Sorry.
Are you turned on?
Sorry, perhaps I'm not turned on, sorry.
Oh, he's good.
Thank you, David. There we are. How's that? Ba-bum. Yep. Good. Okay, good. So, yeah, so the last time I was here, I think it was early October, and I was sharing with you a little bit about the fact that we were due to go out to Ukraine end of October, beginning of November, for about 3 weeks. And we did that. Action UK, just so you know, is a missionary organisation. It's a faith mission. It actually has a presence in 40 countries and over 400 missionaries, actually. If you look on the website, you'd see 30 countries, and that's because some of them are undercover, which is important because, obviously, there are countries where you're not supposed to be as a Christian, and you're certainly not supposed to be spreading the gospel, good message, good news. So that's why you would see that if you looked on our website. The main sending agencies have a relationship between America, Canada, and the UK, but we all work together as Action International, and I'm working now for Action in UK. And I know we have lots in common because you're very involved with the SDA, and of course Paul Hughes, who's now the CEO of Action UK, and his father David, been very involved over the years with SGA, so we've got lots of resonance there between us. I thought that I would just really share a little bit about Ukraine rather than all the other countries, because of course we know what's going on at the moment over there in the east, and it'd be really good if you would keep these things in your prayers over the coming weeks. We had communication even this morning that tensions are rising. Now, interestingly, I had a chat to Donald before we started, and it does very much depend on who you speak to as to the sort of impression that you get about what's happening on the ground over in Ukraine. But talking to a couple of pastors online even this last week, they were very clear to remind us that, look, when you talk about possible invasion, as Ukrainians, we would say it's further invasion. There's been lots of hostility going on over the years, even recently, really, with the annexation of the Crimea, and, of course, the ongoing hostilities in the Donbass region in the east. So the encouraging thing, and this is so encouraging and quite amazing when we were out there, is that despite all of this going on, God is at work. Churches are being planted, and many, many are coming to know the Lord for the first time, which is really, really encouraging. And I wanted just to share a few prayer points. First of all, of course, please do continue to pray for the Donbass region in the east, where the war is now and the Russian-backed insurgents are. That's been going on for 8 years or so. By God's help, we partner with a pastor out there in that very region where people are evacuating and all the rest of it. And we purchased bread ovens for him and his ministry so that he could actually minister to folk in these difficult areas. And from there, over 1,000 loaves go out every day to feed folk. And that's not only humanitarian aid, but there's lots of opportunities to share the gospel, and many are coming to know the Lord. There have been over 11 churches planted in that region, and they're filling. And we're currently looking to expand both the bakery and that ministry, so that there's sustainable development out in that area. Of course, subject to what happens over the next coming weeks. So please continue to pray and pray for that ministry, that we can continue to provide humanitarian aid, but that many will come to know the Lord as the gospel goes out. In the south, where we visited the north and spent a week or so in the north, and then down to Odessa in the south, that's becoming more and more volatile. It's a strategic port, of course, there. And there's all sorts of talk about the Russians being present in submarines and the like. please do pray that there will be help there to establish a mission hub, which is what we're really particularly keen to be involved with and to help further with. When we were over there, we met with a group of pastors, and their vision is to plant, 25 churches, I think it was, over the next 5 years. 25 churches over the next 5 years, and they've already fulfilled their first year, so they've planted five already, and they're just people are just coming to know the Lord. So that's a wonderful encouragement again. It's interesting, isn't it, when people are oppressed and when difficulty comes, and this message is all holding together wonderfully this morning, and it's great when the Spirit works in that way, but the Lord moves and people come to see him for who he truly is. So in the north, where we were actually visiting Kremenets in the north, but in that Ternopil region, we were working, we took a group of young people to help finish a transition house. You may know there that a lot of young people, once they get to 16 or so, that's it. They come out of state orphanages and they have to just cope on their own. They've got very little life skills. And so what we're trying to do, and what the ministry has done in the past and is continuing to do, is to build these sort of transition houses or homes where people can come in as foster children and have a bridge between their life and their future. And that went successfully, and it's great to see young people involved with that. And then they returned back to this country after the first week, and we carried on down to the south. That's encouraging. But in that Ternopil region, with all those orphans, there's been an absolute explosion of young people coming to know the Lord and being baptized, which is wonderful. And that is why it's so encouraging, this ministry, because what we're seeing is not only are these young people coming in to these transition houses, but they're also coming to faith. Something like 90-odd% are coming to know the Lord, which is a wonderful encouragement, isn't it? So please do pray for that and for the establishment of a mission school. If things don't go well, and we will have to see how things work out if Russia invades further. But we've got other opportunities in the Balkans, and we will still keep connection. And I think that's one of the key prayers, and one of the things that they're asking this week. Please pray that we can have the means to keep communicating if invasion comes. We're laying up stores and all those things, but we need to keep in touch with our supporters. And so please do pray for that, as well as for ongoing provisions. Those communication lines will be essential. Pray for peace and for how we can and they can cope with the many displaced persons should the worst happen. Pray for churches and church leaders. You know, the Christian church was persecuted when the Russians were in occupation previously. There's no sense that would not happen again. So please do pray for these guys that are laying their lives on the line for the Lord. Thank you, Tom. Paul?
Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Let's just pray. Father, we just...
And preaching out there, those opportunities. In a sense, and I share this before I start, but in a sense, it gave a real contrast to how things are in the church in this country. There's a vibrancy and a movement of the Spirit and the gospel awakening over there, which is somewhat blunted, perhaps. I felt very much that contrast when we came back of seeing with the oppression that we're facing in a different way in this country. You know, we've got to be careful not to hunker down, haven't we, with a bunker mentality, because we're in a post-Christian age and so many are against us these days. But over there, it's vibrant, God is moving, and people are coming to know the Lord in many, many numbers. So, yeah, that's encouraging, isn't it? We're going to be considering this morning, and I think this is the thrust of my message, and we've been looking at these things over communion and with Tom this morning already, that what a difference it makes to us and to our everyday lives when we have a true picture, a true view, if you like, of the eternal glory to come, of, you know, the eternal perspective, as some would have it. It's so, I think, as I've got older, I've realised it more and more how it is so important to keep a true view of the eternal perspective. It helps in all sorts of ways, but it keeps us focused in a right mind when we are under pressure, when we're in distress. It lifts our minds. And I've been thinking particularly about these things again as we come into a new year. You know, we're in February, halfway through already. It's amazing, isn't it, how time whizzes by. But I hope this passage both encourages you, but also challenges you this morning. And we're going to be looking at a few other passages as well, but I'll read those from the front. My main text, as Tom has said, is this text in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through to 5:2, 5:3. I guess talking about the eternal perspective is what it's all about, and bringing it to mind, raising our eyes, if you like, as they say today, to the long game. You know, it's the long game that matters, actually, rather than the here and now. And it's a great temptation, isn't it? And I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm speaking to you guys. It's such a temptation in every day, the busyness of everyday life, to put these other things to the back of our minds. And that's the importance, of course, isn't it, of reading the scriptures every day and spending time with the Lord brings it back to the front. So, the importance of this is so evident through Paul's writings. It's not just in this passage in 2 Corinthians, and I'll talk about that. But I think the reason why I chose this passage is because even within the letter of 2 Corinthians, you can see this working out with Paul. So, I have to say, I suppose the challenge is for us is if you and I are always preoccupied with the here and now, what does that say about our faith? What does that say about our Christianity? What does that say about our focus, our priorities? And perhaps our priorities in 2022 need to be recalibrated. It's been a real challenge to me as I've been thinking about these things over the last few months. So if you and I are always preoccupied with the here and now, if we're always thinking about meeting our bills, we're always thinking about, the materialistic, if we're not satisfied with what we have, if we're thinking about the next car or the next house or whatever that might be, conversely, it could be that we're under pressure. It could be that we're being affected by stress or the things that really get under our skin, physically and mentally. Overwork or stress is a dreadful thing, isn't it? You know, we don't want those things to be our masters. But if we are pulled in that direction and in those directions, then our attention is inevitably always on the here and now. And I say what we're dealing with day to day. If this is the case, we do need to challenge ourselves. You know, Paul says at the end of 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves. And he's saying that to Christians. He's not saying it to non-believers. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Because I think that is a real indication. If your mind is on the eternal perspective, you know where you're going. You know what your where your thoughts and your where your preoccupations are. So easy, isn't it, to become preoccupied with the busyness of earthly things that we fail to spend time thinking of the eternity that actually puts all of this into perspective. It's momentary, as Paul says. It's momentary. These things are momentary. He says that in verse 17, doesn't he? And even, you know, even these troubles that come, that are momentary, and I'm not being glib here, you know, I don't know where you're at or what's happening in your lives, but I've been involved with this fellowship for a number of years now. Quite a number of years, actually. And I know that a number of you have had awful things happen. So I don't say that glibly. But when those things happen, they are actually momentary. And when you think about the eternal perspective and eternity stretching before, it's like a few minutes, really, in God's plan. In Romans, and that was written, of course, from Corinth, it's interesting. In Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Not even worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And we... You know, I'm sure you know all of the things that Paul went through, ending up in Rome, chained to the Imperial Guard, for instance, and witnessing there, and executed eventually. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And in the passage that we had read to us already this morning, it's interesting, I think, because it illustrates this very fact that Paul is now looking to the eternal perspective. When he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Isn't that the truth, that as we get older, we are very conscious of the fact that we are decaying, I suppose is the word. I don't like to use that word, but I know for me, I'm frailer now than I was 10 years ago, and you know, I'm hoping I've got a number of years left. But we are becoming outwardly frail, we are wasting away in that sense, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. And that is what is important. That is what is important. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And that's incredible, isn't it? There's some, in some wonderful way, the sufferings that we go through, and Jesus was very clear about this. He said, you know, if you follow me, you will suffer. In the prosperity gospel that is preached, you know, in Africa widely, in America, it's heresy. The prosperity gospel that says, you know, you come into our church and you give lots of money and you will be blessed and you will have a great time and you will have prosperity. It's nonsense. It is heresy. The Lord, and Paul tells you this many times in his writings, you just need to look at Philippians, you will suffer as a Christian. But in some incredible way, these sufferings seek to glorify, and the way that we deal with them will glorify God. And when we get there to heaven, all will be revealed. And he will say to you, having dealt with these things well, you know, good and faithful servant, here is your place. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Now, keep that in your mind. It's very positive, isn't it? And it's wonderful, really. But then, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn back to 2 Corinthians 1. And just look from verse 8 at what Paul, where Paul was at the beginning of his letter as he was going over in his mind these things. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. You know, he doesn't say that lightly, does he? So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. There, at that point that Paul is recounting there, he was exactly in that position. He was despairing. By the time we get to chapter 4, you know, he's talking about focusing very clearly on the eternal perspective before us. And it puts all of that, he's now saying, look, yes, at the time I was despairing, it was very real, but actually this puts it all into perspective. It's light and momentary, and God deals with it. Whatever it is. As I say, you know, I don't take these things lightly. I don't talk about these things lightly. There are a few times in my life where, you know, I've despaired and I've thought, you know, why, Lord? Why? Why are you doing this? And it becomes an act of will, to be honest. It's an act of will at those points in time to say, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but you are God. You are our perfect God, and you know the end from the beginning. All things are in your control. You know all. Whatever this will do in terms of eternity, I have to leave with you. I have to trust you. I have to trust you. You know, because when I talk about our faith and our certain hope, that's when the rubber hits the road, isn't it? When you're really up against it. When you're bereaved or something awful happens to one of your children or a dear one. That's when the rubber hits the road. And you think, Lord, what's happening here? I thought all this would be fine. I thought my children would be just absolutely fine. I've prayed for them every day. You love them more than I do, which is incredible, but it's the truth. Why is this happening? Why has my mum died at a young age? Why is that, Lord? She was a lovely woman. She was a good woman. And she helped lots of people. Why is that? What is that all about? But I will trust you. My faith is secure. I'm focusing on the eternal perspective because these things are, in eternal terms, light and momentary. You know, the certain hope, the biblical hope that we have in terms of our faith, you know, it's not the hope that the outside world talk about. It's not wishful thinking, oh, I hope it's going to be sunny tomorrow. It's awful today. I hope it's going to be sunny tomorrow. It's not that hope. It's a certain hope based on the absolute confidence that the scriptures reliably show God has fulfilled all of his promises. He's raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and he'll do the same in the future. The past has been fulfilled perfectly. The future promises will be done again. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 40 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will, says Jesus, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is a certain promise. And we know that. We have the deposit of the Holy Spirit as Christians, showing that the Lord keeps his promises. That is a deposit of what is to come. And it's a firm promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite simple, isn't it, really? Look to Jesus, and you will have the perfect reward. You will have reconciliation with God. You will have an eternity stretching before you. Happiness, true happiness that lasts forever in new bodies. You know, these are the promises and the will of our wonderful triune God. Paul writes chapter 4, verse 14, a little bit back. He writes this, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. It's a firm and clear promise, and we have that guaranteed in Scripture. It's wonderful, isn't it, to be sitting in the 21st century and to look back over the full canon of Scripture. Never contradicts itself. It's been completely fulfilled, and we know the revelation to come will equally be fulfilled. And what a wonderful picture that is if you read the end of Revelation. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3 verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's the wonderful position we're in. It's the wonderful position we're in. We're sinful, we're sinners, but we're hidden in Christ. So that when God looks at us, having confessed our sin, he sees the wonderful, perfect whiteness, perfect cleanliness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is now hidden with Christ in God. So yes, it's very often it's a deliberate act of will to drag our minds back from what's happening. All the things that, you know, stress us out and worry us and preoccupy our minds. But brothers and sisters, this is why the people in Ukraine can come on and say, look, actually, we know this is happening, but they're lots worse off than us. They actually said that this week to me. So that's lots worse off than us. Worse off. Russia, with all its might on the border, there's lots worse off than us. They're thinking about eternity. They have the eternal perspective. What an encouragement that is. I'm in a very privileged position to be working with those folk. So, of course, although we want to keep that perspective, we must sometimes force ourselves to think in that way. Along, of course, with how we do that, we continue our relationship, building our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as we meditate on his word, as we pray, and as we intercede and we spend time with him. That is really important. You don't get to know somebody well unless you spend time with them, of course. And that's really important. So part of all of this is spending time with Jesus, getting to know him better, listening to his promptings for our lives. So Christ is now our priority. And what God asks of our lives is our priority for 2022. You know, whatever your calling is, whatever your gifting is, you probably remember, some of you, that I've spent a lot of my ministry over the years working with the elderly, and many times I've spoken to ladies and gentlemen that have, brothers and sisters that have been stuck at home now and thinking, look, what can I do, Martin? It's wonderful to see, you know, all these things happening, but what can I do? All I can do is pray. And I say to them, all you can do is pray? That's brilliant. That's the powerhouse of the church. Keep praying. Please pray. That's your ministry in your last, season. Praise the Lord. What a privilege, what a wonderful thing. Don't ever underestimate. Don't think your ministry's ended because you're stuck at home. And we know a lot about that, don't we, with the pandemic. But yes, Christ is our priority. He's given us all gifts, and we need to seek his mind as to how we use those gifts for him. As I close, then, I just want to turn to Philippians, actually. Philippians 4. Reading from verse 4 through to verse 7. Because I think this is really helpful. Is this all some sort of, you know, vague principle I'm talking about? No, it's not. You know, yes, it sometimes asks for you to make a conscious decision. It's an act of the will. But what a wonderful illustration. In Philippians 4, it says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Goes on to say some wonderful things about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. But when I was preparing this and thinking about you here in Twinning, I was thinking this is important that I include this passage. How many times have I heard this said, that, look, I'm praying for you that you'll have God's peace, you know, that peace that passes all understanding. But the word actually says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present with your requests to God. And then the peace of the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And this fits in really well when you're trying to focus on the eternal perspective, I believe. This is bringing your mind from all the anxieties that we have, and we all have them, and all the troubles that we have, and we all have them, and all the worries that we have, and we all have them, and it brings it to the Lord. It brings it to the eternal perspective, focuses your mind on the author of all things, on our God who knows everything. He knows what's going to happen. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then you will receive that supernatural peace that passes all understanding. Why don't I just close in prayer? Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters this morning in Twinning. In this lovely place, Lord, I just pray for these precious ones here and for the work that is ongoing, Lord. We pray again for revival in this location, in the Midlands, in this nation. Lord, we ask forgiveness for the way that this nation is turning its back upon you. Lord, have mercy upon us. And pray, Lord, that you will start in this location. Lord, I'm thrilled to hear about the young people's work taking place on a Friday, Lord. Bless that. Bring many into this place to come under your word, to hear from you. Lord, bless that work, I pray. And everything else, all that this church is doing in terms of the SGA and its wider influence, Lord, bless the work. But please start a work of revival in Twinning, in Gloucestershire, in Worcestershire, more widely in this land, Lord God. that was once so on fire for you. Forgive us, and please, Lord, bring revival once again. I lift this congregation before you, praying that you will bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.